Good evening and welcome to Outsources, KGNU's weekly LGBTQ news magazine. I'm your host, Karen Rayforth. My guests are Dr. Carrie Kandrian and Drew Austin. Drew is the visual arts curator in the Dairy Arts Center in Boulder and is an interdisciplinary artist living and working in Denver. He's a valedictorian BFA graduate from the Rocky Mountain College of Art and Design. Dr. Kandrian is associate professor at the University of Colorado's Anschutz School of Medicine. She's a doctorate in communications and is the director of a film that we're going to talk about tonight, as well as a number of other things. What do these two people have in common, and why should you care? That's what we're up to tonight. Welcome, Carrie.
Thank you, Karen. Thanks for having us.
And Drew.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you.
It's great to have you here because I thought, you have a lot more in common than the average person would think. Oh, a professor and a visual arts curator at the Dairy Center for the Arts? I don't know. Why would they be together in the studio tonight? Tell me a little bit about each of you first, and then let's get into answering that question.
So I am a researcher, as you introduced me, and I work at the University of Colorado School of Medicine. I'm a social scientist by training, and my research broadly focuses on the disparities that older LGBTQ people face. And a big part of the, so I deal with large amounts of data that really show the devastating disparities that really impact millions of people. The problem is research sometimes, when you talk really in general terms, is really hard for people to connect on an individual and really a human way. And so part of what I've done, because a huge part of research is really the communication piece, being able to communicate what we're finding, what we're learning, and what we're showing, so people can actually make a difference and do things better. So the film and photos, I've really turned to the arts as a way of helping communicate data in a way that really helps to humanize it, I hope, and really show the people behind the data and the effects it has on real people's lives and health.
And then could you tell us just a little bit, something about you when you're not at work?
Sure. I won't give the typical Colorado answer, but I do really love being outside. I've lived in Colorado there. I did it.
It's irresistible.
It is irresistible. I grew up in Tucson, Arizona, and I've been in Colorado for 20 years now. And I think a couple pieces that keep me here is the beauty, the mountains, and the people.
Drew and I could endorse that as well.
And the beer.
And the beer, okay. Brewery time. All right. So, Drew.
Yeah. Hi. My name is Drew Austin. As you generously introduced, I'm an interdisciplinary artist myself and also the curator of visual arts at the Dairy Arts Center. Within the curatorial, I like to focus on emerging artists. I love to champion women. We love to, especially at the Dairy, bring in stories of typically othered people and allow them to share their own story and kind of use the Dairy, that space, as a platform for their own storytelling. So what we're doing coming up, it's actually at the end of Friday, we'll be opening the show. It's called Prismatic. It is the first all-queer show that has happened at the Dairy in the Visual Arts Galleries, which I'm very, very, very excited about. So we are opening the show in May. It's running through all of June for Pride Month, and then closing in July. Within my own practice, I also explore sexuality, but more so I'm interested in light and shadow, which is really kind of exciting to merge the ideas of my own practice into the ideas of the curatorial realm as well. That's kind of the idea of the show, Prismatic, is about light and shadow. So it's nice to kind of have the blend of the two. Outside of the art world, similarly, I grew up in Montana, so nature is a big thing. I don't know, I would say recently my dog and I have been exploring outside a lot and going to some like off-leash dog parks and just, you know, having fun. So very typical. I work a lot. That's typically what I do. But, you know, yeah.
So the dog is thrilled when you actually are home.
The dog is thrilled, yes, exactly.
And we'll lead the way to, there are things besides work.
Yes.
And you should be doing them.
Yeah.
With me.
Gosh, yes.
Right.
All the time, yeah.
All right. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the interface between the two of you.
Yeah. So Carrie, I would say I first was introduced to Carrie's work through her show that was at Anschutz Gallery, right?
Yeah.
So she reached out when she had this exhibition of all of the works there, and it was in this really amazing space that kind of wraps around their auditorium. You probably can speak a little bit more to how the structure is based, but the works made you kind of travel throughout the space, and it was really interesting, and you got a moment to sit with each person, but you also saw them in connection. And so Carrie reached out right when I started back full-time at the Dairy, and that was really the beginning of the whole show of thinking about the black and white and the color aspects of it was the black and white photographs that started with Carrie. But since then, that was almost like 2 years ago now at this point that we went and saw that original work. You've shown that body of work many different places, I think, and have plans for other things, so...
It was about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So they have, the women have traveled. They've been at the Anschutz Medical Campus. They went to Out Boulder County. And they went back to Denver. They've just been at the Denver Public Library. And now they're back in Boulder. My hope next is to really get them outside of the metropolitan area.
So when you say the women, could you explain what you're talking about to the...
the women.
The uninformed.
Yes. So what we're talking about is a photo exhibit. It's called Eye to Eye, Portraits of Pride, Strength, and Beauty. And it grew out of a project I did. I interviewed over 30 older LGBTQ women in Colorado about their fears and really needs as they aged. And part of what I was talking about earlier is really helping research be understood in a way that people can get it, to do something about it, was to take pictures of these women. And so they're all women who identify as LGBTQ, living in rural and urban parts of Colorado. And the portraits, as Drew talked about, are black and white. Underneath them is their name, their age, their occupation. Many of them are retired at this point. And then a quote from the interview. And they range in age from 60 to 82.
Could you hear the interviews at the exhibit too, or just see the pictures? And where, or what's happening with the interviews?
So no, you cannot, unfortunately, hear their audios. You can read the quote, but we did talk about that when you did come out, how neat it would be to actually be able to play the audio. The interviews are used in presentations. I've published on them, but they're not actually connected yet to the exhibit.
Mm-hmm. Are there a few of the people that you photographed that are in the documentary? Is that correct?
That is correct. So you can hear their voices
there.
See some
of the, kind of engage with them a little further.
So the light and shadow piece of this.
Yes.
Where does that fit in?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of the idea of prismatic, and me being a gay artist as well, I often see that gay artists are pigeonholed into gay shows or pride shows or you know, queer materials are a big thing in the art world, sexuality specific things, or even going into the land of like taboo and having a big sexually explicit show that's gay. And so for me, I feel like there's a part of that that's really accurate, and I feel like, you know, queer artists for sure fit into that, absolutely. But there's also this whole range of work by queer artists that isn't like quote-unquote queer specific or like gay thematic or conceptually whatever. And so I really wanted to explore that. I really wanted to explore kind of the richness that exists within the gay community. And I think a lot of that comes from thinking about elders. And I think elders are so often kind of dismissed when really we should be embracing them even more because they have all of that experience and have really lived and paved the way for us as queer people, specifically queer people. So really the idea is to open that up. And so the way that I did that was to divide the show into black and white sections that are on the kind of exterior lobby gallery. So thinking about light and shadow as a way to define the world around us. And then on the interior gallery, we have 7 different walls. So I broke that into the different color spectrum and called for specifically monochromatic works by queer identifying artists with no other kind of qualification. So it doesn't have to be conceptually bound within anything. It's what you're working on and how you identify and what you want to show. Just give me something that's monochromatic. And so the idea behind that is that when you look at light differently, it breaks apart and it has this infinite potential. And that's kind of the way that I'm looking at humans as well and our personhood of, you know, we're often bound into one different thing or categorized so simply when really people are so rich and so dense and so layered. And so that's kind of the way that I'm thinking about light and shadow in terms of like a kind of metaphor.
But. Mm-hmm. That makes sense as a metaphor, now that you're explaining it to me.
Yeah.
That's great. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Dr. Carrie Kandrian and Drew Austin. And we're about to talk a little bit more about the things that they have in common. Carrie, you have something in Drew's show. I don't know if you're the curator, if you're allowed to say it's your show, but
he's definitely
sure.
So what's in the show?
The women. So there are two things, the eye to eye exhibit, which are the black and white portraits of older LGBTQ women. And the second piece that's going to be airing on May 21st is a film documentary called Just Us, The Longing and Hope of LGBTQ People, which is also part of Prismatic.
Yeah, and Carrie's photographs are throughout the entire exhibition. So within the black and white, there's three different galleries that they inhabit, and Carrie's works are throughout that, and then actually along the center lobby wall as well. So her works very largely kind of ground that section of the exhibition.
Hmm. So is Eye to Eye the whole show in there, or part of it?
I think they all made it.
Yeah, all of them are in there. Yep,
they all made the cut.
They all made the cut, and two actually get to go to the Embassy Suites.
Yeah, so the Dairy has a little wall at the Embassy Suites Hotel that we kind of collaborate with the Embassy Suites and curate in connection to the exhibition. And so two of Carrie's works will be over there with three drawings from San Canessa, who's another artist in the show.
So it's like a little satellite.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep, totally. Yep. There's always a little sub-exhibition that happens over there. Yep.
It looks really neat.
It's only like a block away.
Yeah, it's on the corner. Yeah, right down the street.
So it's not, for those unfamiliar with where the Dairy is and everything.
Yeah, they have a little bar outside too, so you can go grab a drink and look at some art. And yeah, it's a cool little spot.
Great. Yeah. Great. Talk about your documentary.
Yeah, absolutely. So the screening will be May 21st, as Carrie said. We actually have two screenings because the first one is probably sold out at this point, but it was selling very well last week, so we added a second. So 4:30 and 4 and 6:30. My bad. 4 and 6:30.
Two showings, same day,
back to back. And that'll be in the Bodecker Theater, Bodecker Cinema, that is in the Dairy Art Center.
So the film is called Just Us because it's really... The goal was really just to show LGBTQ people as people. This is the first, just like the photo exhibit, the first photo exhibit I made, and this is the first film, really as a way, and actually I've realized it's a lot like research because I worked with a cinematographer, but a big part of it was really finding people with relevant expertise and experience to share their story. And so that was really my role, as I found, we interviewed 29 people who are all part of the film, and we didn't really have much idea, except we just wanted to do that. We just wanted to show people as people. And that's really the hope of it, is to help really demystify and destigmatize the LGBTQ community. Because I mean, the attacks happening right now are very real. They're very scary. And I think a lot of it stems from misconceptions, which grow out of a lot of misunderstandings around who we are, who the LGBT community is really like. And so part of the film is really just to see these people. And hopefully people can realize we're pretty ordinary, living ordinary lives. We're not scary, and we just want to be able to live freely. And so it combines a bunch of different voices. We have public health experts, medical experts, mental health experts, community members, allies, activists, and to really paint a picture of sort of what is happening, what still needs to change. And ultimately, though, I hope it's really a film about love and hope. Two things that, I don't know, be hard not to want.
Yeah. We recently saw the trailer that Carrie put together, and like every single staff member who saw it just started bawling. It's just gorgeous and beautiful and moving just from the first 3 minutes that we saw. So. Mm-hmm.
And so is the audience most the LGBTQ community, or is it for the allied or uninformed community, or who were you thinking about? Who are you trying to, I always think of documentaries as educational. Mm-hmm. Who are you trying to educate here or communicate to?
That's a great question. I'd say D, all the above. Because I think a huge piece of it is education, because I think that is what is sort of creating all kinds of havoc. And I don't want to accuse anyone of hate, because I don't know if people really hate. But I think there's a lot of fear, which creates a lot of confusion and anxiety. And so I hope people who either sort of have misconceptions or outdated images or sort of these ideas that they've held on to without actually knowing someone, truly knowing someone who's part of the LGBT community, to come and hear some of these people speak and realize, you know, this, and because that's my hope, is that actually disrupts some of these images I think that people hold and have. And so a big piece of it is educational. So I hope it draws people who are part of the LGBTQ community, because I think it does give us hope. It gives us strength when things like this come out. And I think it's also important for allies. That's why I was really concerned and really intentional about including allies, because we need people to speak up as often as they can and in as many places as we can. And I hope people who are fearful or confused about what it means to be LGBTQ come and realize it's a pretty ordinary people who just want to live who they are.
Mm-hmm. If somebody wants to see it, but they can't come on the one day, the one afternoon, because they're out hiking with their dog or something, you know, yeah. What are their other options? Is it going to be showing at the Dairy other times, or are you aware of setting things up for other places? Or
In terms of the Dairy, I mean, we've already like expressed interest of wanting to show some other ones, so definitely keep in the loop. I imagine it would be something we would do again, if not make it bigger in some different capacity. But otherwise, I don't know.
And I mean, given that this is the first film I've done, I don't know a lot of them. I don't have a clue what it all means. So I think this is actually terrific, giving us some time to figure out what actually needs to happen. Because the point of making is to have as many people watch it as possible. So I need to figure out that next step. So as long as Drew wants to keep it, he's able to, and then we can figure out where it goes from there.
I know that our cinema programmer has already said that someone else has expressed interest, art also as well. So it's like, you know, you never know, like, who's going to see it there, who's going to be in the audience, who's going to be excited by it.
It has options to travel around.
I feel like totally.
Hope so. I mean, I think having a film like this go travel outside of Colorado, within mm-hmm. Colorado, but really in states that really need to see films like this, I think it would be terrific.
Schools or universities that would probably love to show it as well.
Great.
That's a great idea.
So
it is a great idea.
I think there's a lot of options for documentaries that don't get a lot of extra play outside of festivals sometimes.
Exactly. And it's 60 minutes, which we've feels nice enough that people can sit through that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're optimistic.
I like
so optimistic. I have one question for you as a communications professor, mm-hmm. researcher. It seems like the miscommunication going on, misinformation going on mm-hmm. right now is just amazingly a mess.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering about your observations from the communications field about how to unsnarl the mess.
It is a mess. 'Cause I think words are, I mean, as we know, words are extremely powerful. They can let people believe whatever they want, whether they're true or not, which is what we're seeing play out on a variety of levels. But I think where they get their momentum is really how, I mean, for sort of being told and retold over and over again, they develop so much strength. It's almost like this inertia that people don't even disrupt them or even question them. And I really hope that like a photo or a film can really help break up the momentum, because I do think it can help. If not, they just really become this sort of vicious cycle that people believe to all ends. But until you sort of meet someone and realize this could be your sister, could be your aunt, could be your cousin, your neighbor or your colleague, I think those things matter. They do something to your heart and your head when you know someone. And that can help change the narrative, change the discourses we're hearing that are extremely alarming. But I think any sort of opportunity to bring in new new words, new vocabulary for talking about the LGBT community would do tremendous amounts of good for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Although some politicians are trying to shove us all back in the closet pretend that we don't even exist. So it's not about changing the vocabulary. It's about you either aren't wanted here or you don't exist. Or if you do exist, don't let us know about it in some of the don't say gay states, etc.
etc.
Yeah. That's actually one of the reasons that I'm doing this show that's not, it's definitely gay. Like, you can go walk in and you can tell it's pretty gay. But there's also a sense of it. Like, I didn't want to use anything that was, like, super stereotypical or, like, mm-hmm. I mean, a rainbow, you could definitely argue. But thinking about it in a broader, more open way where there's many different access points where you don't have to be gay or identify in that way or identify within the community to just connect with something that you find interesting. So there's a range of works and different mediums and different things that you can find an access point and hopefully just learn about someone. And that I feel like is a view of or a way to connect and get rid of the stigma. Like I feel like I feel like just kind of silently integrating things into the canon that is absolved every single day or absorbed every single day is like the best way to do it. Like, you know, just like this is another person's story and they also happen to be queer, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. The galleries that these are in, some of them are in the lobby areas of the Dairy. So
totally.
Anybody just going through for other purposes, going to the movies, going to a play, would see some of it, no matter what. Even if they never look into the rooms that are galleries, they're in the hallways as well.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of like that subconscious stuff. You know, you're passing it by and you're seeing it every single day, and maybe you're not stopping to look at it, but it's slowly like working its way into your mind and working its way into your like, ethos and person and daily. You know, you're interacting with the work daily. A lot of people are there every day, so it's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is cool because you can't not see. When you go to the Dairy, I mean, you can't move through the space without interacting in some way, which I think is...
Kind of elaborating a little bit more on what you were saying, Drew, how do you see art as being able to help unsnarl the messes that are going on?
Yeah, I mean, very similarly to the way that Carrie was describing it, where I think it's like an unspoken connection. It's invisible. It's like, I mean, there is something that you're looking at, but it's more like a feeling, you know, someone creates something and then you feel something and they're either moved by just the experience and it brings up something within you, or you're then moved by the work and you want to go research that person and you start to learn more about the artist and learn about their story. And I think it's a give and take maybe between both. But I don't know. I always call art kind of like, and a lot of people would argue against this, but I always call it kind of like the equalizer. Like I feel like anyone can approach an abstract work or any work of art and feel something or interpret something. And I think it's just kind of the levels of openness and access around that in terms of like how you interact with that. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's so hard because artists are often, we're supposed to put words to what we make. And I think it's so often like the opposite of that, where you really are just feeling something. And I think I really feel like the best work you don't need to put words to. It really just, it sparks something. You feel it and it's hard to explain what you're feeling, you know? So that's really my goal of this, where it's just to present a range of works and hopefully someone connects with something. And then maybe realizes that they're connecting with a queer person, you know, and maybe that's someone that they've never connected with before or something. So something like that.
So any last words from either of you?
The only thing that I wanted to mention that would be really great, as Carrie mentioned, that it was 60 minutes long, the documentary. So we're airing this little piece of documentation that another artist in the show actually created in Minnesota. They did this choral and orchestral piece where they interviewed elderly, queer identifying people who were aging out. And there was actually a person who, now that the premiere has happened, has passed away, unfortunately. So their story has been captured, and the composer, Nathan, made those into the lyrics. So the music and the lyrics will tell the story of these elderly queer people who were in this housing project in Minnesota. So we'll be airing that before the documentary.
Good to know.
Yeah. Cool, fun stuff.
Great.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Seriously, so much.
Thank you for coming in. You've been listening to Dr. Carrie Kandrian and Drew Austin, who are talking to you about the art exhibit Prismatic, as well as the documentary embedded within it. If you miss part of this show, you can hear it on our news blog at news.kgnu.org/outsources or on the archives at kgnu.org. Another event of interest, Dr. Doug Kimmel, former Boulder resident, returns to the state on May 14th at 3 p.m. at Out Boulder. He's going to speak on Moving Through the Generations, the history you didn't learn in school from the 1960s to the present. You can find out more information at outboulder.org, or you can also find out more information by giving them a call. You can hear Outsources every Monday at 6:30 p.m. on your radio, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, or you can go to kgnu.org and stream it. Good evening. This is Karen Rayforth.